Hey, this is Matt Blake from the SoCal Sound production team. We thank you for listening to the SoCal Sound and appreciate you checking out the live sessions. These sessions are listener supported, so please consider becoming a subscribing member. Your contribution helps keep us filming and recording live sessions like the one you're about to hear. Just click subscribe now on the SoCalSound.org homepage and make sure to credit live sessions on the drop-down menu. Thanks again and enjoy another SoCal Sound session.
Welcome to another SoCal Sound session. This one, we are live at the Wiltern, which is pretty fun. I am here with Adrian Quesada, also Eric Burton from Black Pumas. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Black Pumas, Chronicles of a Diamond, the brand new record. You guys have a sold-out show tonight. How are you feeling? You've been here, let me just say, you've been here for like a week, so you've been here through our crazy rainstorm. And today we had an earthquake. I don't know if you felt that little bump at all today.
I didn't feel the bump, but it's always a bummer when it rains here for us, and especially me because I'm from here. I'm not back very often. I feel like the last few times we came, it was kind of gloomy a bit.
Do you think you're bringing it? You're bringing this like wacky weather?
What's happening? I don't know. You know what? In a good way, I hope so. I hope we're changing
You're
something in
whirling
the atmosphere.
Whirling something about. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, so how long were you born here in L.A.?
Yeah, I was raised born here. Yeah, 1990, October 7, was born in Van Nuys, and kind of grew up between there and the Inland Empire, North Hollywood.
That's wild. LA and now born. You live in Austin, and what about you, Adrian?
Austin, Texas, yeah. Born and raised in Texas, yeah.
So how long have you been, both of you living in, have you been in Austin the whole time?
No, I graduated there like after high school. I mean, I left after I graduated high school and I moved to Austin.
Nice. So you spent a lot of time. I love your stories about busking. We do a bunch of local music spotlights. We're always highlighting local musicians. And it's just a super cool story that you would take the bus and the train or whatever. It takes you so long to get to Santa Monica to busk your way. You said you only did that for a short amount of time. I just want to inspire like local musicians that you just have a great story to tell.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I think that most of us have a wonderful story to tell in our experiences as a busker for the true meaning of the word. I think it's the Latin word is buscar, which means to search. And I feel like on a level we're all seeking and searching. Somewhat of the highest version of ourselves. And so that's what busking here in Los Angeles for maybe 6 to 7 months on the Santa Monica Pier between there and the subway, served for me. It served as a machine and or a vehicle to get to a place of undeniability within myself as far as that conversation goes. You know, between me, my most high, and then to be able to reciprocate poetry and or message to other people to kind of resonate with just means the world, man. It means the world. And I get the best partner to do that with.
And how did you get your start? Like when you were younger, you do that kind of busking or how?
Eric is a very good performer. It took me a while to become a performer. You know, I was always into music and it's actually at my dad's encouragement when I was like, 13 or so, he was like, you should play piano, you're really into music. But I was skating and had my hair in my face, and I just thought piano was goofy. And I was like, I'm not playing piano, that's like, my friends are going to make fun of it. So I was like, I'll play guitar, that sounds cool. So like all my uncles got together with my dad, and like one of them, they like pitched in on lessons, got me a guitar, blah, blah, blah. So I started playing guitar in high school, started kind of playing in garage bands and stuff like that, and then moved to Austin, which has a very vibrant music scene. So I kind of started to get more into being in bands and performing over there. And then we connected in 2017.
What do you think? It seems just by watching you guys played Amoeba a couple days ago and just even watching your sound check. So you guys are both really talented people. What do you think? But together, there's like a magic that happens. What do you think each other... Like, what do you bring to each other that you think makes this work the most?
I think it's just a commitment to what makes us excited about music. From the kind of music that we enjoy to the level of expression that we've reached in our communication, firstly to ourselves and, and then fortunately to be able to share that with others. You know, I think that it almost feels like a sports team where things just kind of happen. They just unveiled the Kobe statue the other day, so basketball is super fresh in my mind. I feel like the connection to some degree and reflection to someone maybe throwing another person an alley-oop for a slam dunk, the communication in that action is in a lot of ways, it kind of goes unspoken. And so I just think that there's a level of chemistry as it pertains to the love, and then allowing that love to kind of dictate what should be, you know, done.
It sounds like it was a pretty instant chemistry with you guys, even though I think you met on the phone or on Zoom or something the first time.
There was a musical chemistry for sure the first time we recorded. I mean, we did our first two singles in one afternoon, you know, pretty much. And really didn't, I mean, we were just recording for fun. We weren't even going to be a band. We weren't sure what we were going to do with it. He was, you know, working with other people. I was always working on stuff in the studio. And but I think once we had a handful of them, we realized there was a synergy there in chemistry. And I think a lot of that has developed even deeper, you know, like that. I mean, we knew there was chemistry, but it takes a lot of work to nurture that and keep that going. And it demands a lot of respect and trust, you know, that I know that I have, and it gets deeper as time goes on, and there's a lot of it, that some of it's communication, some of it's unspoken, like you said, some of it's on stage. I can look at him and kind of know what he's going to do at this point. I'm not saying that in a predictable way. I'm saying that, right. Back to the basketball thing. It's like, I can throw a no-look pass and know that he's going to catch that and dunk it, or vice versa, you know? So like that connection, gets develops over time. You know, we didn't have that on day one for sure, but we knew that musically, when we got together, we made some cool music.
It seems like you guys both would improv a lot. Do you always on stage, like, is each show different? Like you seem like you just get into a spirit of something, and I would imagine, is there a lot of improvising for you?
I don't know. Locally. I think that what makes the dynamic work very well overall, that we all kind of wear different hats as it pertains to the performances. What makes it work very well is that, you know, I will improv and I will, you know, allow my spirit to kind of fly, you know, and then, you know, with the attitude, with the fortunate blessing that is having someone who's like, okay, cool. Like, what do you think of this set list? You know, how about we put this song here, this there, or, you know, like, what do you think about these transitions? So, like, in a very, in a very compartmentalized way, I feel like Adrian really helps to kind of, like, help me see some, help me to see some context for the energy that I'm probably going to, that I know that I'm going to reciprocate in the first place. So I know not to kind of, like, take too long in the audience. Like, I might jump off the stage, and, you know, if we're going into something where I need to play guitar, I'm probably,
he's like,
yeah. So just communication, yeah. I guess, yeah.
There's a framework for sure that we go out on stage with, you know, it's like these songs. But the great thing about this band, and especially knowing that he's in front, you know, is that it can kind of go anywhere, really. If he does take off and it's a moment, the whole band can just go and follow that, and that's what's amazing, you know. So it's, for the most part, I think we definitely follow a script, but if somebody starts improvising, you know, highly likely he'll take us somewhere. Everybody can go there, and that's the best.
Well, I even loved at Amoeba, like, you just got the crowd singing along. You're such a front man, Eric. It's pretty cool to see.
Well, I love the theater.
Yeah,
you know, we love the theater. I was born here. This theater is very much alive here. My mom was a dancer. My uncle a writer. I have another uncle who, like, writes novels and stuff. I was just always surrounded by it. So I think at a very young age, what was cultivated in me were eyes for the theater. You know, for to dream. You know, I was really very much allowed to dream as a kid. So it's really nice to be able to kind of reserve and preserve the my inner child in that.
Yeah, that's great. What about the difference between your first record and the Chronicles of a Diamond? I mean, you put out the first record, it got nominated for Album of the Year. So I'm sure, I think I've even read about, you know, a lot of pressure on you for the next album. How did that, I guess, guide you writing the next record in any way?
I don't know, man. Like, for me, it was, I had the failsafe that was collaborating with a Grammy-nominated / Grammy winner of a producer. So I, you know, in the first, my perspective was, okay, I'm already working on my own record. Let me help someone finish their record or EP, really is what I thought that we were doing. He's like, I was just going to go to the studio and we were going to work on maybe 3 to 5 songs. And then that was going to be it. And so for me, I didn't worry about, you know, writing songs and or coming to the table with production ideas that, you know, moved me in a personal way. I was just, you know, presented these like very vivid, almost cinematic musical pieces, you know, to make sense of as an actor, you know, in such a situation in order to fit the canvas that I was being provided. And for the most part, that was pretty much that was our initiation as a duo until we eventually started sharing more music together. I shared some of my own songs and Colors and October 33 and a few others where, you know, my music that started with me started to influence the presentation of what we had. Luckily, the sound that Adrian was coming to the table with and the songs that I was coming to the table with were kind of fitting like a glove. And from the first album to the second album was the biggest jump for me, especially because I did feel a lot of pressure. I started to feel like, okay, well, you know, I got to see how my partner comes to the table with ideas, and he hadn't really seen me come to the table with ideas the way that he did in the first place. So I kind of had to learn the language in order to even engage with my co-founder here of Black Pumas. You know, we all have responsibilities, we're all adults, and so, you know, luckily, you know, when I moved to Austin, I was couch surfing with a bunch of musicians, a bunch of studio rats that I maintained a relationship with these guys. Like, I own a house and just bought some property, but I still rent my room with these guys. And so what that did for me, especially as it pertains to Chronicles of a Diamond, was that it put me in a situation to allow the facilities in just playing the guitar and singing on the Santa Monica Pier to be expounded upon and expanded, where I was able to kind of like pick up any instrument and be like, okay, well, a drummer would do this on this song, or let's plug the guitar straight into the board as opposed to an amplifier for that Al Green, that old sound there, you know? And so I was able to kind of like explore the facilities that is a studio a bit more. And again, with the failsafe of a super generous producer who was open enough to like kind of hear, you know, some of my ideas. I don't know what your perspective on that is, but
yeah, I mean, that's
kind of like,
that's basically, you know, the difference between the second album and that one is you know, the relationship was I think Eric described the first album was like a handshake, and this one was like we were intertwined. I almost sometimes we always kind of talk about the things that I don't know what the word is, but like basically I picture sometimes like with that cover, I'm almost like if you almost look at the cover art, and this was not on purpose, but like. The cover art of the first one is like the two Pumas kind of like dancing around each other, and this one is like they're actually right next to each other, and right, you know, and to me, in many ways, that's kind of like what this album was like. You know, it's a vulnerability that you have to like open your ideas and show your ideas to somebody else. But he came with, you know, my whole thing was like, I really don't want to repeat that first album. And you know, there's a certain muscle memory when you're making music, like that, you know, you do. If I pick up the guitar, sometimes I tend to play the same thing that I just played. And Eric actually having, like he said, this sort of house that he still kind of stays at with these guys, and they have a studio in there, and he was just cranking out ideas 24/7, you know, and all these cool ideas he was bringing to the table. I'm like, that's perfect, because that's actually like just like kind of hard left turns that are still like really incredibly like catchy and moving and deep songs, you know, like they have that thing that Colors had and all that. So yeah, he was bringing incredible production ideas to the table that already felt like, okay, I felt like I could take a breath and be like, this album is going to be different and better for that, you know? So yeah, when we put our heads together and finished it, you know?
That's great. What about the song Rock and Roll? Would you say we're all rock and roll?
Would I say that we are all rock and roll?
Are we all rock and roll?
For sure. I mean, I feel like rock and roll is just soulfulness, right? You know, rock and roll isn't a genre. It's a state of being and a lifestyle, I think. And that really basically just came from being in a band on tour, right? The camaraderie of being with all your friends in places you've never been, in ways that you've never been. For all of us, that the last tour cycle for the first album, I feel like I could speak for everyone in the band when I say that, like, there were some firsts for all of us, the way that we were elevated based on, you know, people's desire to listen to the music. So rock and roll, you know, it's just, it's, you know, you sing to the spirit, you feel the spirit. And, you know, I feel like most of the band, in conclusion, they probably, they shake their head at me like, oh my God, not again. This kid, he's come to the table with another idea. This is the first day we've had off in like a week. I don't want to go to the studio. You know? But, you know, there were a couple of moments on tour where I was able to kind of convince people to come to the studio and hang out and chill. And so Rock and Roll came out of that. Gemini Sun came out of that. And Rock and Roll really represents the soulfulness in all of us. I hope that people can get that in the abstract presentation of the lyrics, and but the very distinct spirit that you hear in that mantra.
And when I was watching you sing it on stage, that's just what I felt like. We're all rock and roll. So it just felt very cool to hear you talk about all that. Before I let you guys go, there was, I hope it's not folklore, but I actually watched a video. You guys were doing, like, talking about your first success, and you told a story about how you were, I think, 8 years old, and there was some contest, and you had to write music, and whoever did the best won a certain prize.
Yeah.
So I bought you something.
You want me some hot Cheetos?
I sure did.
No way. I don't know.
That's why you reloaded.
I haven't had it.
Hey, man,
amazing.
Don't eat those before the show. Might ruin your voice.
This is so cool, man.
That's amazing. It's not funny to bring them.
Yeah, thank you. I might even let, like, Adrian take this home to his daughter.
They'll eat the hot Cheetos and Takis.
Yeah, man.
Well, Eric, Adrian, thank you so much. Black Pumas, it's been great talking to you guys. Have a great sold-out show. Have a great tour. And thank you for coming by to the SoCal Sound.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Peace.
Sure thing.
You see the two black birds flying, flying high. Might help them get to the other side of a great divide. And I've asked the Grandmaster why, asked him why that feels so hard sometimes. You got to use the music, sweet soul music, to reignite your soul divine, to reignite your soul. Cause life is more than a love song. It's more than a fantasy, more than a little bit. Yes, life is more than a dream, y'all. It's more than a fantasy, more than a little bit. So take your time, be realigned, so we can fly finally together. Let's fly way up high. I hear the two bluebirds sing that song. Dip, dip, do, dip, dip, do. Yeah, right, right, right. My respects to the Grandmaster for the line. It's such a pretty thing how the melody abides. Cause life is more than a love song. It's more than a fantasy, more than a little bit. Yes, life is more than a dream, y'all. It's more than a fantasy, more than a little bit. Life is more than a love song, more than a fantasy, more than a little bit. I'm through the door now, I see the sun shining. Way more than a little bit. So let's take this time to realign my soul and mind, so I can rise and fly way up high. Can somebody help me sing? Help me sing a song. Life is more than melodies. Help me get along so we can fly. So hard sometimes, I just might start to lose my mind with the rest of the masses. But when you feel the feeling overcome you, just grab your sister's hand and fly together. The bluebirds fly together now. Well, baby, show me how you back. I got my ice cream pink with vanilla on top. Show me where you pull it, baby. Show me how you back. I got my ice cream pink with vanilla on top. In the land, in the sea, who am I? Oh, we rock and roll, rock and roll, rock and roll, rock and roll. In the parlor, I'm the bar, I'm the writing on the stall. Rock and roll, rock and roll, I'm rock and roll, rock and roll. In the belly of the beast, by your lonesome, what to do? I'm rock and roll, let's rock and roll, rock and roll, rock and roll. In the battle yet be won, if the cat she's got your tongue. Rock and roll, rock and roll, rock and roll, rock and roll. And the girls who know it are the ones who get it, babe. On the bold side, where the war's won. Back to life, my sweet chariot. All loving, sweet action, sweet action. Innovation, inspiration, temptation. I'm rock and roll, let's rock and roll. The moon by your lonesome, what to do? Rock and roll, rock and roll, rock and roll, yeah, rock and roll, rock and roll.
Oh,
The SoCal Sound sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound, hosted by Julie Slater. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce, edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.